Scarpins Audio. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats, the show where we break down the world of sports, and we do it with pundits, we do it with athletes, friends of ours who are comedians who know their sports, and podcasters who have great sports podcasts. We got one today.
CJ Toledano, he's one of the best. He knows his NBA up and down, does a podcast for the NBA called Run the Break.
Running the break,
and he is just fantastic. So we'll get deep with him on the current playoffs, the system that is the Celtics, why Chris Paul isn't the closer that we think he is. Is he still a Hall of Famer? All that stuff.
And his predictions for who's going to win these championship series and then, of course, win the NBA championship.
Great stuff and great quick hits and then later a special voicemail. But first, at the top of the show, just trying to figure out right now what is going to happen in Cleveland because with the Browns and Baker Mayfield. And where does Baker Mayfield go? I mean, they're promising so much money to Deshaun Watson.
Who
may be suspended.
If the NFL is smart, they will suspend him.
Right. So this is really what I want to talk about.
So what the hell was Cleveland thinking? What the hell are they going to do, and how does the NFL handle this? Because this, to me, anything short of like a year suspension or anything short of like a massive, massive thing is going to seem like the NFL's not taking these claims seriously.
Right, not taking them seriously or standing on the side with Deshaun Watson.
Because one woman who says this is an issue, two, three women, four women, five women, you're at 22.
Yeah. 22.
It's not it's hard to get 22 people to agree on anything, let alone like, hey, we're going to conspire to take down this guy.
And 22 people who don't know each other.
And don't stand to gain altogether something from this guy necessarily. So it definitely feels like you got a situation where it ain't a coincidence that all these people are coming forward. It's not.
So the NFL is really in a position where whatever they do will tell you their stance on this issue. Like, who are they going to stand with? And by the way, they could say, we are suspending you until this thing gets settled. And that's it. Like, the suspicion around you and the fact that this is, it's a business. It's a place of business. But this isn't the court of law where you're innocent until proven guilty.
So I say to myself, and, you know, Deshaun Watson didn't take a team to the Super Bowl. Colin Kaepernick did take a team to the Super Bowl. How in the hell can this guy, a team, have no problem hiring this guy with this groundswell
guaranteeing
suspicion?
Guaranteeing
him tons of money. How can you do that and no team take a shot at Kaepernick at all?
So Baker Mayfield then suddenly becomes a much more important figure, meaning that like Deshaun Watson may not start.
No.
He may not play at all this year.
So there you go,
then
Cleveland.
Baker Mayfield needs his money, and he needs to get paid like the starting quarterback that he is, because he will be your starter this year for at least some of the year, if not all of it.
And it's insane because Cleveland was kind of weirdly turning a corner, and I know the Bengals kind of jumped them in line and got way better, way quicker.
Because Joe Burrow is a generational Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback, and Baker Mayfield is a great Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
Like a college quarterback.
Right. He may not be the pro guy that, like, to me, Baker Mayfield is more like a Rex Grossman. He can take it, or a Nick Foles. He can take you far, but like,
Nick Foles
won a
Super Bowl.
I know, but Nick Foles was not the reason they won that Super Bowl.
No.
Again, this is a quarterback driven league. And so, like, the teams that have Baker Mayfield as their quarterback, you're falling farther behind Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and those teams that are having Patrick Mahomes, that have the young quarterbacks who are really gaining. So, again, I don't think Deshaun Watson is the answer, but I don't know what
this
you do.
This is such a thorny, like, bush that these guys are stuck in.
The NFL has to step up and do something here to like
make a statement that, number one, they don't support this behavior. Number two, they are, you know, fine if you want to say innocent until proven guilty, or you can say unknown right now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to wait and see. I don't think anyone will say, except for Cleveland.
Right.
The organization in Cleveland, because we know a lot of people in Cleveland.
Who are
I know
upset.
Long, lifetime Cleveland Browns fans who are like,
hate the fact
I
that they
can't
got
root for the Browns right now because of Deshaun Watson. So that's a business decision now. You've made this choice. You've divided the fan base. Sure, there will be people who are like,
whatever,
yeah, I
can't
it,
prove
and
it, can't prove it.
There'll be those people, fine. But do you really want to divide your fan base at this point when you're not a Super Bowl winning team when you're not a perennial
divide
first
the fan base
team?
And divide the team. There have to be people on that team who are like, look, I have my suspicions about this guy. Do I want to block for this guy? I don't even know who he is. Yeah, maybe he can help me win, but at what cost? There are definitely guys on that team who are like, look, it's not worth it to me to go that distance.
Crazy.
We're going to see what happens. I think the NFL has to put their foot down in a big way. Let's see if they actually do that and have the balls to do that. You're the NFL. You can do that. You know what I mean? It's not like if the Cleveland Browns aren't great this year, the league is folding because you have enough teams that can fill that gap. The league is really as healthy as it's ever been. So
totally.
Now's the time you come from a position of strength, put your foot down, and don't allow 22 people to accuse the dude of something and then just let him roam free and let him be cheered.
Like if all the starters on a football team and all on the offensive side of the ball and all the starters on the defensive side of the ball are saying something about somebody in a clubhouse, all of them adults.
Are you really going to discount all of them?
I think we're going to be prone to believe them. If they're all saying that the team trainer was inappropriate with them and touched them inappropriately, I think we'd all for a second be like,
yeah, maybe we should listen
22
to them.
Guys are saying this.
Are we not listening to them because they're women? Is that what it is? Because I know the NFL doesn't want that image.
That's not a good look for the NFL either.
Do your work, Roger. All right, we'll be right back with CJ Toledano. I can't wait to get into the NBA talk. This is a View from the Cheap Seats. Don't go anywhere. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. As promised, I love this dude so much for so many reasons.
Great comedian, knows his sports, married a woman who knows her sports.
Knows as much as you. You guys go toe to toe, and your podcast that you did, I'm going to get it wrong. I want to call it like the greatest.
That was it.
I got it right.
Thank you.
Debates of who's the greatest of all time in XYZ.
Which are debates you have with people that, forgive me, this is going to sound terrible. Most people don't have with their wives. Or if you are a woman who loves sports so much, you probably married a guy who doesn't.
Yes.
And so you can't have it with your husband.
The thing is, like you guys said, like we know sports as much as each other or different areas. And so there were genuine like debates. Like we've seen sports debates and first take
that
all
are
that,
bullshit. That
but
are
genuine
bullshit.
Like
there's like laundry. Yes. Someone didn't do the laundry underneath I fucking hate Reggie Miller.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like there's
that was never said. On the podcast.
No, you never
just thought it in your heart, and you're not allowed to say it to your Indiana Pacers.
Some people love your Indiana, your Rick Smits love. She probably loved Rick Smits's like prepubescent mustache.
Generally, like you give your wife like flowers. I gave her a vintage Rick Smits shirt for like an anniversary one year. And she loved it.
The Duncan Dutchman.
Yeah.
So we are in the middle of a very interesting NBA playoffs, which is why we bring you on now, because let's make sense of this. Like, let's make sense of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, let's make sense of the Phoenix collapse and what that means. Like,
just a bad matchup or, like, Luka on fire?
A little bit of, I don't know, it wasn't a bad matchup. That was the best regular season team. They had every chance.
Who was that in the past? There were a bunch of teams that were like great in the regular season. They just get to the
Jazz.
Playoffs. That's right.
And then that's
the Jazz, the Sonics. I mean, I'm thinking about mainly like those Bulls teams that like kind of like, you know, we knew the Bulls were the best team, but like on paper you had the
Suns.
But
the Jazz. Okay, so when the Bulls played the Jazz, I don't know. Maybe this was in the Jordan documentary. Mm-hmm. Like I forgot how tough the Jazz were at their home home arena. Like they were tough. Like the Bulls went in there and they're like, we are probably not going to win these games. You know, but
John Stockton was able to mask his emotions, unlike he's able to mask up
exactly
for 2 years. It
was almost like he was immune to championships.
Can I just say this? The past few years or a couple of years have been like, oh, at least we have John Stockton. At least we have Hornet. Like slowly, one by one, their names are being crossed off to
The, and then every time when Karl Malone is starting to look like the best guy,
the
court
most stable
on
your
just
person,
just being quiet.
Yeah, Karl Malone just
and he's got his own trouble.
All he does is deliver the mail.
Yeah.
But I mean, every time I see Steve Kerr like speak out about anything, I'm like, I love this guy more than anything in the
whole
world.
Why is this guy like his press conference yesterday?
He should run. When you're done winning championships, and they may well win another one this year,
become a senator.
I wish, yeah, there's like guys like him, Popovich, even Adam Silver at one point in time. You're just like, how are these guys better than our politicians?
They are better.
You know, how are they guiding?
They're speaking truth. They're not beholden. Like, this is why politicians should not be beholden to anything.
Yes.
Because then you can just speak. I mean, he was in tears. His lip was quivering yesterday when he delivered that press conference. All right, so Phoenix collapses. Does that affect how you look at Chris Paul? Do you still say Chris Paul, put him on any team and he makes that team better?
Yeah, he makes them better, but are they a championship winning team? I don't think so. And I've always thought that. Just a personal story. I don't know if anyone's listening to all the podcasts that I'm doing, but like,
I'm sure they are.
I was interviewing I won't name names, but a very much a stats guy who, like, you know, I think all three of us, we enjoy sports, not just because of the numbers, like we know them, we nerd out about that stuff,
sure.
But also
the emotional
personalities,
sure. Sure.
You know, how you show up as a person and what's at stake. And I have never been convinced that Chris Paul is the guy, that he's the one guy like a LeBron or a Kobe that you put him on a team and they can close
He'll
out.
He'll will you to that victory.
And so I had asked that. I said, guys, is Chris Paul, did we see him peak in a, you know, no pressure first round against the Pelicans? You know, and people were like, oh, this is his year. I wasn't convinced.
No.
And so they kind of looked at me
wrong.
That
Pelican series, man, that should have put the fear of God in you.
Yeah.
You're like, this 10 games under 500 team that barely squeaked
10th
in.
10th ranked.
Yes,
team.
You can get hot. Yeah. Yes, you can sort of put it all together. And yes, you have a guy on your squad that can just take over a game.
And
in,
that's
in
the
Ingram.
Immaturity that I don't think that Chris Paul is supposed to be this mature leader, veteran experience. And like, it didn't happen. That game 7 was such an embarrassment that I never thought, like, it would be insane if you tell me, hey, we got to blow up this team or we got to refigure things out, like really just go back to the playbook.
Yeah.
But now I'm like,
maybe
you lose
should.
By that much in a game 7.
Well, do you
at
need
home?
Another piece, like one other shooter? I mean, they were hoping that guys on their team would step up and be that, but like, they're just, you need
also
like,
Chris
Booker
Paul.
Had 2 points at the half. Like, you don't need another shooter. You need your shooter
to show up and show
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
And Chris Paul, this is the problem with Chris Paul, and this is why I don't think he will ever be or ever could have been a game-changing takeover that guy. Because he is not – he doesn't elevate. Like, he's not Ja Morant.
No.
He's not even Kyrie Irving when you say, like, his creative ability around the ring. He's not a finisher.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to be able to take over a game, you have to be the kind of guy who's a finisher.
Either get fouled or get the bucket.
Get it to the rack, draw contact, score.
Yep.
Scare someone so,
so
far
much
that you can then step back and shoot and score. You got to have that. And Chris Paul, while he's crafty and creative, he was never that guy.
No.
So that's, to me, why you can't take over an NBA game at this
crafty
point.
Crafty is I mean, like, and the thing is, I don't want to just, like, tear on Chris Paul here.
No,
but
no,
I have mad respect for him.
He is a future Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Let's just say this. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. One of the best point guards of his time.
He's had some dirty plays, you know, and, like, I think his own friends in the league will admit it. And so, like, I wonder if he looks inward and just goes, like, hey, maybe I just got to, like – maybe I got to accept I'm not that closer, and I got to bring that closer, and it could have been Devin Booker, which it should have been. Yeah, it should
and
have
I
been.
And it still can be maybe in another year or so.
So we'll see. I mean, I think he still has like years in him. You know, is there a possibility that he teams up with LeBron? Is that probably the wrong move after what we had seen this past year with Westbrook and then teaming up? Maybe, but like, there's got to be some other piece. I don't know what it is yet. And again,
I don't know what
game
it is
7
either.
Was so crazy
bad.
To me.
I mean, it's crazy. To me, you're watching all this stuff play out, and you're watching guys' careers like Chris Paul play out, and then you think back to, and I know they didn't play the same position, but you talk about that ability to close, the ability to come up huge in huge games. You start to look back at like a guy like Larry Bird, and you're like, this dude,
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. We're talking about a small guy who wasn't like a above the rim necessarily player. That guy could finish.
Yeah.
And as soon as you have a guy like that who can take the game over.
That guy could force the issue, and I'm not just talking with female employees in the front office, okay? No, but he
put a lot of pressure.
He would
on
not
you.
Take no for an answer. Isaiah Thomas would not be denied.
Not talking about the front office. We're talking about on the court. No, but I mean that you sort of re-look back at those guys and you're like, wow, this is. There was a moment where you're watching a Boston Celtics game and you say to yourself, okay,
all right, this is where Larry takes
Larry
over.
Larry time. Yeah. This is Larry time right here, and I don't
obviously
care.
Jordan and the Bulls. Yep. There was Jordan time. There was winning time. It just happened. It just.
CP3 time? Never heard of it.
We haven't. We don't
CPK
have that.
Time.
Yeah, CPK time.
But you have Luka time. You
absolutely.
Do have that. And with that possibility, even though they're down 3-2. 3-1.
3-1,
right.
3-1,
yeah.
They just got that fourth game.
They won the fourth game.
So it doesn't look great for them in this series.
They're not coming through.
I don't think they come through in this series. However, with a guy like that on your team, and I would also put Ja Morant in that category.
Yes. Yeah, so those are two franchises that, in my opinion, you say to yourself, if you are a fan of the Dallas Mavericks, if you are a fan of the Memphis Grizzlies, you're excited. Yes, you wanted
absolutely.
To go further, but you are saying to yourself, okay, we're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah. I think, you know, the difference between a Luka and a CP3 is that, you know, CP3, he'll dominate in one category in a game. And like, oh, I'm a facilitator. Mm-hmm. It's great. That's awesome, you know. But mm-hmm. Luka will facilitate. He'll score all the points.
That's
he'll
right.
rebound.
That's
he'll
right.
defend somewhat. I mean, that's what he needs to like work
just
on.
Needs
but
to
like,
shoot free throws better.
You know, let's look at that that roster around him. Not that amazing. I mean, Jalen Brunson has obviously had a
he's
nice,
an interesting
yeah,
dude.
Jalen Brunson was like born a 47-year-old rec league
right?
player.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like he was born with a knee brace on.
Well, I call him. I'm trying to put together like the all NBA meatball team. You know, it's
yeah.
like these swole, short point yeah, guards.
Right.
Guards.
Right. So who else is on that? Squad?
Definitely Grant Williams, who's you know on
Grant,
the
Grant Williams
Celtics.
Is on that, but yeah. Brunson looks like your uncle who just got laid off. You're like, hey,
yeah.
man, how's things going?
Things you, the factory?
You're not working at the garage anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. He's going to be playing with anger today.
Yeah, you're like, that dude is fat, and he takes off his shirt, and you're like, oh, you're
no,
jacked.
He's jacked out. He's on the all-meatball team.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. That's great. I like them. Would J.J. Barea be on
yeah,
that
J.J.
team?
Yeah, J.J. Barea, and it's funny because they replaced J.J. with Jalen. And so, like, okay. I think Mark Cuban, and they replaced Dirk with another white international
that's
guy.
Right.
So Cuban has
his formula. Yeah. I mean, he's got a shark.
Who are they going to replace Trey Burke with?
another failed Michigan guy?
Come on.
Sorry, guys.
There have been a few good ones. A few have broken through.
Speaking of great Michigan guys who have come through,
Jordan Poole.
I mean, a perfect guy to come. We all thought he should have spent another year in college, and I think he could have had that year in college.
He actually benefited from Steph Curry being injured because there were no expectations on the team and Klay. No expectations on the team.
He could
tons
make all
of playing
his mistakes.
Time. And so his 2-for-15 shooting nights all happened in the year where they were going to lose anyway.
And that's the beauty of that Warriors team is Steve Kerr doesn't overreact.
Right.
You know, it's like they had guy when KD left and some of that bench left, they're like, we'll rebuild it with draft picks and young guys. And like you have the leaders of Steph, Klay, and Draymond.
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
This Wiggins run
that's
on
crazy.
This team, you're like, oh, this is the guy
this
he
is
was
the guy
supposed
everybody was
to be
talking about.
When everyone's
the
like,
number
he's,
one guy
he's the
up.
Next da-da-da.
All you need, and it happened with the Spurs as well, is, hey, here's a guy who has evidence who can play.
Right.
All right, hang on this team, learn our ways, and we are going to make you an all-star, which Wiggins did.
So,
with Jordan Poole is now the third Splash Brother. You
so
know?
You were like, with those, I definitely see parallels between, and again, I think Steve Kerr comes from the Spurs tree, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of similarities between that, like Duncan Robinson, then just Duncan and Kawhi Leonard, those teams, and Manu Ginobili was kind of the bridge piece and whatnot, and you say to yourself, well, they were a Tim Duncan team. They were a David Robinson team at first, then they were a Tim Duncan team, then they were kind of Manu Ginobili, and then they were Kawhi Leonard. So at every moment, they could like shift it onto someone else, but like Duncan was great all throughout. Steph Curry's great all throughout.
Yep.
If they win this year, which I very much think they have the a possibility to win, I mean, are you – if it's – Golden State and Boston. How good of a series is that?
No, I don't think it's that great.
Why?
I just think the Warriors. I mean, the Warriors were my pick out of the West. That chemistry and
they
experience.
Were your pick when at the beginning of the season.
I would say in January.
Okay.
Wow.
Just because, guys, this is again that core is the greatest. You know, the 73-9.
They're loose.
Team.
They're never gonna throw up.
Yeah.
They're never gonna throw up a bad performance because of nerves.
Yeah.
Like, also, you got three different guys.
you could argue maybe, but I'll say three different guys that can take over on any given night.
So. Is Andrew, is this incarnation of Andrew Wiggins better than Andre Iguodala back in the day?
I mean, I think it is because I think he's more of an offensive threat.
Yeah.
Not that Iguodala wasn't, but I think so. Wiggins can create his shot in a way that Iguodala could not. Yeah. He could hit an open shot because there was just a lot of attention on everyone else. He could hit that open three, but Wiggins can catch the ball, make a move, and then rise up and
shoot. No one will match Iguodala's balls in the moment.
No.
You know, it's like there's that meme with Kellerman where he's like, who are you giving the shot, the last shot to? Iguodala. But Wiggins is putting up numbers.
He is.
You know?
Putting up numbers and doing it in the game.
So he's putting up numbers
in the first, second, and third quarter and keeping his team in the game.
Which means if you're game planning against these guys, you got to put a body on him. You got to put somebody. You now have to worry about him, which means you can't double other people.
Yeah.
You can't bring other people for help.
And who benefits from that?
Jordan Poole.
And Jordan Poole, because Jordan Poole is like, he used to be just a pull-up shooter. Now you got to respect that he's going to blow by you.
He's tall, too. He's 6'4".
Yeah, and guys, Klay hasn't even played to his best.
No, no. He's still coming back.
Playoffs. Yeah, that's the scary part.
That's how good they're going to be next year.
Yeah.
And again, if they can just sort of keep this intact, if they go on another mini run, let's say they win like another two.
That's the thing. The Spurs, every other year, they're always in contention. It was like, and they'll play low-key. They'll play with rotations a bit. They'll grow their bench. You know?
And we'll look back at this chunk of time that is, let's say, from 2000. When did the Warriors win their first one? 2015?
Yeah, 15 was that start.
15 to 22. That's a 7-year span. Yep. And you will look back at this time and completely forget the year that sucked.
Yeah.
The 2 years that were.
Yeah, and people were hurt. Klay was out for 2 years.
Klay was out for two seasons.
Steph was hurt for majority of last season. You know? Like they were in the play-in against having to go against LeBron, and LeBron had that freak sort of comeback, you know? Yeah.
But I mean, it is fascinating. I mean, it's crazy that this is the first time we're talking NBA. This is the first time we really mentioned LeBron.
I know. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's been good for me, who is such a LeBron head. It makes me watch the rest of the league. Yes, the playoffs are great when LeBron is there because he can do the unthinkable.
Sure.
He is the guy who, when we talk about taking over or closing, that's LeBron, who can do it literally by himself. Mm-hmm. But now we're watching a Celtics team where it's like, is it going to be a Tatum game? Is it going to be a Jalen Brown game? Is it going to be
Al Horford?
We're talking about Al Horford.
I think Marcus Smart. I don't want him to be injured because I think that guy is just, he locks down their best guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, this is what I'm saying.
Get healthy, Marcus Smart. I want to see you on Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Get healthy because I want to see Jalen Brown checking Jordan Poole. Get healthy. I want to see Tatum on Klay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's a really, now you've got, to me, I know you're saying the Warriors are just so great, but there's some matchup stuff.
There is. I think, and it's also, too, like, if you can get in Draymond's head a little bit, like, I think, you know, in that 2016 Warriors, Cavs comeback, the Warriors sort of beat themselves in ways.
They did.
And that was by
ejected.
Getting into Draymond's head.
That's right.
Force
and
him
I think
to make
Marcus
a dumb move.
Smart, if
oh,
he just,
he can
like,
do
you
that.
Know what I mean?
Oh,
and he is shooting well right now, too.
He is.
When
he is.
Playing.
When he came back after being injured and made that through, even though they lost that game to Miami. But are we premature in counting Miami out? I mean, if no Jimmy Buckets, then
Definitely. That series is going 7, right?
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, they've disappeared in ways that Boston hasn't. Like, even in the game one where Boston lost, they were up like 15 in the third quarter or something.
No, they came back in the game where Miami held on to win in Boston Garden, game 3, I believe it was.
I'm just saying, Boston has pushed them. They really haven't had like the Steph Curry getting beaten by the John Morantless, beaten by 46. There was no like, you know what I mean? Like, there was none of that.
No ghost wins.
So I feel like, I think this is Boston series. I don't know why I have such a strong feeling, but
I haven't made my mind up yet. I have. It's like the greatest worst series right now because they're all blowouts.
Yeah.
But the series is tied.
Tied. Yeah. I mean, you say to yourself, okay, we just got our ass handed to us. Mm-hmm. But if there's a game 7, that's
in Miami,
game 7. I mean, I think at that point, if Miami makes it back to the finals, you know, almost like Kobe coming back and winning the championship, sans Shaq, he really said, okay, I am quality. This is me stepping out and proving that, like,
I built a team around me.
Me doing the thing that Chris Paul could never do, so to speak. if they were to make it back there, I really do think Eric Spoelstra, we're now talking about him as like one of the best coaches in the history of the game. And I never thought
history
he was.
History of the game.
He goes to four finals, wins two. Right? Didn't they go to four? Or did they go to? He went to. This would be his fifth.
With this team, yeah, for sure. I mean that big three is. I mean, yeah, I guess the big three was a tall order to manage that squad.
Well, sure, but I'm saying like to take this team, which to me doesn't have like Bam Adebayo is interesting and good, and Jimmy Buckets is good, but I don't think Jimmy Butler is one of the top 10 players in the league.
Yeah, I think Spoelstra, no question, one of the best coaches in the league, active coaches right now.
Because first of all, he preaches defense.
Yeah,
you see like a guy like Victor Oladipo in that series, and you're like,
forget about him.
Every freaking play, his hands are in the passing lanes. It's fun to watch that guy finally get some meaningful run.
Yeah.
When it counts the most, because you're like, you were always great on the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. Great in college. I remember on Indiana.
He was great as my wife's parents' neighbor, as well.
Was he
did a great job as your wife's parents' neighbor?
Yeah, he was.
He was more of a role player.
He was a role player there.
He's a role player in the neighborhood. He enjoyed
Peggy Gailey's cookies when she brought him over.
Sure, she made him cookies.
Yeah,
sure.
Are they so? They're huge fans too. They're
We are. We've been rooting for Oladipo ever since that.
Absolutely.
So all right,
great R&B singer as well.
He has a great voice. Operatic voice.
Yeah, remember when he was singing opera like his rookie year on SportsCenter? I was like, oh my god, I love this guy.
I love.
Yeah, just interesting and a really cool guy. So I mean, I am excited. It's sort of like, not to shift gears. We've talked so much hockey on this podcast because If Carolina wins, although did the Rangers win last night? I think they were up 2-0.
I have no idea what's going in. So
if Carolina wins and faces Tampa Bay, and then it's the Avs versus probably Edmonton because Edmonton won last night, I'm gonna just be rooting for the one Canadian team in there. There's like far less for me to be excited about. Am I really gonna get up for a Tampa Bay Carolina series? And maybe that's just me being
or Carolina versus the Avs. I mean, it's going to be Tampa Bay probably. Yeah. So it's going to be Tampa Bay, the Avs. Two of the best teams in hockey.
They're great teams.
Be fascinating, I guess, on a level of talent, but
I don't care.
The people of Tampa
what
Bay.
What are the storylines?
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, give me the one juicy storyline.
I don't care. Yeah. The juicy storyline would be Tampa Bay is being cementing itself as almost like a 90s Red Wings style.
In a city that could give a shit about
dynasty. Yeah. Dynasty of that sort. I mean, like, you go to Detroit, and we went to school in Ann Arbor and finished right before the Wings had their huge run in the late 90s, early 2000s. And we talked to Darren McCarty. That dude, that city still looks back, even though they suck right now, they look back at that time as like such an unbelievable glory.
Dominance.
When I was there, I went to the Joe Louis Arena in one of the last years, and it was like they had never updated that Jumbotron.
No.
And its charm was just like, I was like, never change. This was before they announced the Little Caesars Arena, but like, yes, they love it.
They love the hockey so much. So, you just say to yourself, and that's an old franchise, old franchise, the Red Wings. So, I'll be rooting for the Canadian franchise to win. That's just who we are. But like the NBA is way more wide open. So if Miami gets into the finals, I'm excited because I like the fact that it's a team full of no singular superstar.
Yep.
And they have a hero, and yet they have no heroes.
Yes.
Right. And then if it is, I just think Dallas is not going to win, but you kind of won the season anyway, knowing that your guy kind of can, it was sort of like Jordan had to lose to the Lambeer and then get stronger so that he could get better the next year. That might happen for Dallas.
They just become an enticing, like, every free agent out there is like, am I the guy who joins that team to bring him to, finals contention?
So, I want to talk about that because if you're that guy, you have to essentially say, I'm not going to get my shots.
Yeah.
Because while Luka does facilitate once in a while,
he
takes a lot of 36-footers with a hand in his face.
And I think, the conversation was like, oh, Dallas, because they don't have any big men, they need a strong center. Uh-huh. That was the conversation in the first round, and then they kept winning, and they're like, oh, okay, maybe they could just play small, you know? And I think that little toy with that is like, who's that center who can make that difference while on the court? Can maybe hit a three? I think, Rudy Gobert, I think that Jazz team is going to break up.
Gobert?
But then... See, this is the problem with that. Then do you ship off a bunch of really good role players for this star center, and do you lose that spirit that has sort of got him there?
Yeah, right. I mean? Because you need those guys. You don't want to lose Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to lose that guy. You need, yeah, all the role players actually make a difference because you're kind of building the Mavs around Luka the way Milwaukee is built around Giannis. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like this, we're one star. We're going to kind of build it all around those stars. We're not going to do a big three thing. And it worked for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It was just phenomenal that it worked for Milwaukee. I mean, I'm a little more partial to system type things.
Yep.
Like I think Boston is fun to watch because they're never out of it. The system of Boston is like, they're dogs. They're going to like fight
you to
the end.
The Boston team reminds me, tell me if this is wrong, reminds me of those Knicks teams in the late 90s when you had Allen Houston hitting shots.
Yeah.
You had Latrell Sprewell hitting shots.
Choking people
out and buying yachts in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And you had Marcus Camby or Larry Johnson. You have like a series of guys.
Five guys that are between 6'6 and 6'8.
Yeah.
There's no position on the court that anybody actually has.
They could switch on anyone or whatever, regardless, and they just did what they did.
And absolutely. And you can't read up on these guys the night before or before the series, kind of.
Or key on anyone.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Jason Tatum could score 60 points in a game. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He could, and so could Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Either one of those guys.
The fact that you just got to lock those guys, if you're the Celtics, say, these are our guys moving forward.
If you have a young duo like that, that is as good as that, for you to, because guys, I feel like maybe before Christmas, there were considerations of a Jaylen Brown package for Ben Simmons.
Oh my
God. And
that
wasn't even like a thing where anyone would go like, oh, I could see that. Like, we should all be embarrassed that we were considering like, I could see that.
Where does Ben Simmons go from here? Like, does he go play basketball in Australia? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what does this guy do?
The court. I feel like it's a thing he's got to feel out. I mean, it's
he's
hard.
He's
got to
go to Markel Fultz's therapist.
Yeah,
you know
for
I mean?
Real. For
just
real.
Take figure shots. It out. Just 8,000
exactly.
shots a day.
As a stand-up, like, you know when you're like, oh, I had to sit out for a few months. What do I got to do? Maybe some
go
like,
do sets.
Beer, go get go a back, guest spot. Get and reps. Then you're working your way up to back to headlining.
I mean, that to me is like so fascinating. Like watching Ben Simmons like fumble his way through figuring out who he's going to be it's like such a public watching of someone break down.
Yeah.
Or all the problems that are just exposed to him. It's like watching Jennifer Aniston try and find a husband. You know, like I'm like, we know too much about her situation.
I don't want to know how shunned she's been. I don't want to know how unhappy and how rich she is.
Beautiful, awesome, great actor, very funny. Like I just want her to be happy.
Yeah.
Same with Ben Simmons. I'm like, you're like this beautiful creature who should be able to
find a spot on some team. Maybe he's the guy that goes to the Mavs and fills in.
Dude.
He definitely doesn't need his shots.
That would be interesting.
And
if
he could facilitate.
Guy.
Did we just figure something out?
But what I think he'd be great on
he'd
the Mavs.
He'd be great. And I'm imagining Brunson on the Nets. You know, because also there's the rumors that Kyrie might leave. I think it came out that Kyrie is just too unpredictable and like injury prone.
Would you get that from?
You know, the fact that the Nets had easily the best team on paper and just couldn't
blew
do anything.
Because of his obstinance?
Yeah.
So what do you do with Harden? I mean, is Philadelphia going to make a long-term contract for this guy who just, you know, really showed exactly where he's going? Like showed the cliff, which is the end of the earth for Kyrie Irving that he's about to fall off of?
Harden's just got to look in the mirror. I mean, he might get the max. That's the thing is, like,
what?
His history is so...
Where?
Because
Philly?
I think Daryl Morey has, you know, these glasses on that is like, oof. Harden is my troubled
my guy.
It's a troubled relationship where it's like, won't give up or won't go to therapy.
So,
you know what
so
I mean?
Harden at some point this season switched over from being James Harden, the guy who's crossing up the fat kid at his basketball camp,
remember
to become the fat kid who just got crossed up at his basketball camp.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my. I, if anything, it makes you realize how difficult it is to play at the level that these guys play.
Yeah.
We take it for granted. Like, James Harden will never be better than he was, in my opinion.
On the Rockets.
On the Rockets in the series against Blake Griffin and the Clippers when they were down 3-1. And that dude literally, in my opinion, almost...
Every possession was... Three or four cross-ups at the top of the key. Is he going to drive or is he going to shoot? And I will, either one I choose, I will score.
Or make it. And
or
loft it up for Capela,
Clint Capela to
slam it. And you're like, he's got three options. All of them are good. All of them work out.
And it works every time.
It's such a basic comparison, but it really is. It's an eye of the tiger. It's this killer instinct that he had back then where it was like him in basketball. Just, yeah, get to the basket, score points by any means possible. But now he's like playing to prove critics wrong. And
right.
It's like,
different.
No, man. Like,
I did.
That clearly has not worked. Switching teams and all this, it's like it's a you thing. Like, look in the mirror, like, get back to your roots. Like, go back and run sprints with
Apollo Creed.
Creed,
yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Whatever that, him and Westbrook should honestly go and train at the sand dunes or whatever and they just should, go
and
like.
And then, like, both of them go back to Oklahoma
yeah,
City. And how great would it be? If the
I
two of
that.
Them
and then
and
Durant joins
they all
them.
Come back
yes,
to Oklahoma City and then they're like, let's one
go
more
win.
Run.
Yeah.
Old
this
dogs.
Would be a great movie to write.
Yeah.
The old dogs come back and it's like, we're going to do this one last run.
Yeah.
And call it The Run. The Run. Can we write this movie,
yeah.
The Run?
The Run.
Yeah.
And it's just these guys who were great and then for whatever reason had their issues and whatnot, they come back together. I mean, Kevin Durant would be so happy to have the crazy that is Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And not the crazy that is Kyrie Irving, because you said it, it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Did you need, how much of basketball is rhythm? Where, like, you need to know where this guy is. The best, I mean, not to bring John Stockton back into this, but the reason that they were so good is he knew where Karl Malone was going to go
yeah.
before he went there.
Mm-hmm.
So he put the ball in a spot that he knew that Malone would get to, and Malone would get to the spot where he knew the ball was going to be. And that comes from tons of reps
yep.
and not a guy sitting out because of some weird-ass principle.
Yeah, exactly.
Insane. All right, let's take a break. All right, so wait, before we take a break, so let's predict who's going to
okay,
win.
Yeah,
let's
okay,
predict
let's predict
it. So who...
We're sitting here right now, and I don't think this will be solved by Friday.
No,
it won't.
It's not
in either series. So we can make predictions of who you think is going to make it to the finals, and then in your heart, who you think walks away with the NBA title.
I mean, Warriors, I think, you know. And I'm going to go with a seven-game series in the East. I'm going to go with the Heat.
Wow.
The Heat.
Nice.
With the Warriors winning the finals.
Heat, Warriors.
Yeah.
And do you think that's much of a series? Or
does that go seven,
be
six?
I think that goes five.
Five.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they just pick Warriors make short sweep. Work of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
There
you heard
go.
It.
You heard
CJ
it.
Toledano. When we come back from break, we'll let you know what podcast
he's
going
to He's got see. A new podcast with the NBA where he's not allowed to say anything negative, right?
But I'm going to celebrate the
but
league.
But no.
He will
celebrate
the
check
league.
It out. We appreciate it. CJ Toledano is our guest. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, welcome back to View from the Cheap Seats. We got CJ Toledano. Tell them about your new podcast and where they can find it
yeah.
and anything else, any live dates or stuff like that.
Yeah, so Running the Break, hosting that with Alex Wong, who is an incredible basketball journalist and also just super funny NBA Twitter follow.
Great.
He wrote a book called Cover Story, which is great about iconic basketball covers from Slam, Sports Illustrated, and all that.
Yep.
And we have become friends over the internet over the last few years because we like basketball in ways that aren't just the X's and O's, the wins and losses.
Yes.
It's like, what are players wearing? The fashion. It's
That's,
like, what are the funny...
What short suit is
exactly,
this guy
oh, that
wearing?
Is literally in the first
the short
episode, the short suit.
Get it out of here.
Yeah.
What are you, Angus Young? Come on. Where's
what are you,
pants
six?
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like, yeah, we always talk about, oh, these legendary matchups and, you know, the Jordan and Pistons and all the on-court
sure.
battles, but so much stuff that was happening off-court.
That's
like
great. Oh, yeah.
From we saw it in The Last Dance with, like, Rodman going to Vegas
oh, yeah.
for 72 hours.
Gone. And Phil
you know?
Jackson being, like, having the balls to be like, he'll
let
come
him
back.
Go.
Yeah.
It's gone for, like, 6 days. I mean,
it's crazy. Like, and I think there's a movie being made about that.
Yeah.
The,
so six, like,
the lost days of Rodman.
Yes,
yeah,
there is.
Yeah.
There is. There is.
Like
a
hangover meets,
oh my
you
God.
Know,
how fun would that
sports.
Be?
So it's about those moments, bringing those to, like, sort of the forefront and
yeah, cool.
from the past, like, celebrating the past and also just, like, how we fell in love with the game and interacted with the league growing
mm-hmm.
up from,
yes.
like, I'm a hoarder with just, like, NBA gear, bobbleheads, mm-hmm. autographs,
yes.
like a little bit of cards and sneakers. And that is how me and Alex are friends.
Uh-huh.
And so this is a podcast dedicated to that
All
stuff.
All of that.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
Friendship through the fun of sports as opposed to trying to break it down in
yeah.
a way that is already happening.
A lot
yeah.
of podcasts are
yeah.
doing that. And so we just were like, if we're going to add to that list, like, how do we do it in a way that is different and also that we enjoy?
And joyful. I love it. Again, Running the Break.
Yep.
So good, and people can get it anywhere you get podcasts.
Yes, yes. iHeartRadio, they put it out. There's clips online, so follow us. You'll see
great.
It.
I love it. And to follow you on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, at CJ Toledano. Also, Run Follow Through, which is a sports company that I launched a year and a half ago. We're just out there trying to make, you know, again, like I feel like there's a lot of shows that just are all highlights. Mm-hmm. We're trying to celebrate, you know, athletes off the court.
Yeah.
I mean, a big inspiration of that is Cheap Seats.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do we, comedians love sports.
That's right.
How the heck do we create those shows?
Thank you.
You know?
Well, I mean, and for our fans, the Nosebleeds, which is our Cheap Seats reboot that's going to be on UFC Fight Pass.
Coming hell
out
yeah.
this summer, six
that's
episodes.
That's awesome.
Full
we'll
on.
Let watch you know. Those. Right. I will be watching
those. We'll talk about it, and maybe we'll do some stuff with you guys as we promote that coming out. So that'll be fun. All right, should we jump into some
Let's
quick
do
hits?
Let's
okay,
do
here we go.
Cool. All right, so this whole Josh Donaldson thing, because I want to get into it and talk about it, because Stephen A. Smith came out and said, hey, let's be careful. Let's not attach racism to this thing, which, by the way, that was a hot take
for him
to come out.
Where he's like,
let's all relax here.
Wait,
I don't want to fan the flames. Stephen A.
Okay,
we got
Stephen A.
is like the voice of
racism. But I think there's two things going on right now with this story, and I think we need to talk about it as if there's two different things happening. One, what was his intent and what was he trying to do, whether he thought he was or not? And two, how was it perceived? So Josh Donaldson saying, I wasn't being racist. That's not what I was doing. I was just joking with this guy. A guy I was joking with. That's what he said.
What was the quote again?
So the quote is, so Tim Anderson said, I'm the new Jackie Robinson in 2019.
Because I want to bring fun back to the game, which, by the way, is a great way to view Jackie Robinson because those when he wasn't shrouded in the racism,
people shitting on him and being horrible,
he was super fun. He was stealing bases. He was so fast. He was like this. He was this breath of fresh air in such a sea of where it was kind of like, I think baseball needed it at that time. He completely re-energized the whole thing in a very fun way. So
that's a very bold statement to make from this guy.
Yeah.
Like, who, by the way, he's a great player.
He is a great player.
Has not won an MVP, I don't think. I wouldn't put him in Jackie Robinson's category. Like,
if you want to say Mike Trout is like Jackie Robinson if he wasn't injured so much, that's a more of an apt comparison. If you want to say Shohei Ohtani is going to be like Jackie Robinson. Now that feels
the guy in the Dodgers who came from the Red Sox.
Mookie
Betts. Yeah. If Mookie Betts is like, I'm the Jackie Robinson of this league because I'm having fun, I'm winning championships, I'm winning World Series.
I'll buy that.
All right, I'm going to buy that because I'm stealing bases, I'm hitting home runs.
Great fielder,
making snow cone catches.
Good citizen.
All right, so now we're like.
So now that feels more like a thing.
Either way, so Donaldson goes up to him and is like, what's up, Jackie? And Tim Anderson, he did not take that in a way that felt good to him. He's like, that felt racist to me, which, you know how it feels. Like, why does he want to start this whole thing up? I don't think a player wants to start a whole thing up like this. I don't think anyone wants to out of nowhere.
And you know what? I it's like almost, I want to just say of like his response has been defending why he said that, right? It's been a lot of that.
Yeah.
If anything, it's just like, come on. Like, I think we're, and it's crazy it's taken this so long, like, white people in general just got to go like, hey, I messed that up. Like, I'm not trying to push it. Like, and that's my bad. Here's why. And you know what? Not going to do it again. Like, but to defend, be like, no, this is why, man. Like, I'm not wrong. Like, the worst thing you can do is like, I'm not wrong.
To dig
Here's
in. I'm sorry you got offended. Like, don't go there. I mean, you'd say like, look, I mean, this is, I think this would have cleared it up, perhaps. I believe. If Josh Donaldson would have been like, hey, man, you're on the baseball field. We're competitors. Yeah. We use stuff about, like, it used to be about people talking shit about other people's wives and all this other stuff, which, by the way, is a little line crossy. Like, we didn't know about that stuff. So people use the stuff that you know about your opponent just to get under their skin and get in their heads. I mean, talking about Draymond Green, I'm sure he said way worse things to people.
Think of all the things Larry Bird used to say to people.
Say to people.
All the
Jordan,
things.
Too. Like, what they did to get inside people's heads to cause them to. So he's like, we use that stuff. I was just trying to. Where I was coming from was like, he made a bold statement that
he overstepped.
He overstepped.
Let me make fun of him for that overstep.
Exactly.
Let me make
fun of him. And you know what? He took it the wrong way. And for that, I apologize. And I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry.
That would be the end of it, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like when someone said, like growing up, people were like, oh man, what's up, Bruce Lee? And I'm like, I was like, I took offense to that. But then I'm like, Bruce Lee is pretty fucking sick, you know? But it's like, well, what is the intention there? And then it's just a whole, like, here's why I said it and all that stuff. And it's just like,
you're like, hey, I shouldn't have said it. Yeah. It's not right. Yeah. But, I mean, Bruce Lee is really pretty.
And we got that, too, as Jews in St. Louis. Yeah. Like, people being like, what's up, Goldberg? You're like, that's not my name. Are you? I don't know what your intent is there.
It just doesn't.
You think you're being funny as a way to identify us?
People, by the way, people don't know. This is what we're learning. Jay and I did a show last night at Vitello's. Phenomenal stand-up show with Patton Oswalt and
Adam Ray and Alonzo Bowden and
the writer who I love so much,
Dan Levy.
It was a great show. But the crowd, it was weird in the crowd, like weird. Like people were, two women were talking, and then one woman stood up and called him a C word and said,
from behind, was like, shut up. I'm here to watch the show. I'm going to punch
your lights up. That woman was right, but she created more of a scene than doing that. And there were just other people talking. I'm like, what is going on? Then Jay and I are after the show. And we had a really good set, and I loved it, what we did. After the show, we're standing on the street corner talking to our friend, whose wife and him and brought friends
out
to the
show.
We're
having a very intimate conversation. No one ever brings people to our shows anymore. We're not at bringer shows anymore, but our friend brought like 7 or 8 people out to the show, so we want to thank
him. And talking about stuff and whatnot. This guy just walks up,
and his girlfriend, we can see it coming. His girlfriend's like, what are you doing? And they're a little drunk. And he's like, I want to talk to these guys. And we're like, oh, no,
do not.
He doesn't realize that he's making a mistake.
So he tells a story about how he was in the bathroom. And we're
I got to tell you guys this story.
I got to tell you something so funny. We're like, I can guarantee you this is not.
And don't you see we're in a conversation with other people?
Yeah.
Just be like,
I got something so funny. It's not funny. It's like a fit. Told a story about an old guy.
He was in the bathroom peeing, and an old guy was in the bathroom was peeing,
and then he stopped.
Then he's like, I'm trying to race this guy as to see who's gonna finish.
We're like, first, please give us a reason to end this story right now. Then the old guy goes in the bathroom and goes into a stall and takes a dump and stuff. And that was his story. And we're like,
you can use that.
We're like,
where?
We're not going to use it.
How am I going to use it?
This is more offensive than calling us Jackie.
Right. You know what I mean? But like, it's, my point is that like most people don't know.
But I would probably categorize this guy in the same category that I put Josh Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Donaldson has made other dumb comments in the past. Josh Donaldson has like erred on the side of like religion and like marginalizing other people.
You're like, he's just say you're sorry.
Yeah.
And this is what you were trying to get under this guy's skin. You used the wrong piece of information.
Maybe you weren't consciously evoking a racist
image. Which point that I would say to Tim Anderson, this guy's dumb, Josh Donaldson. He's a dummy. But I don't think he was trying to be racist to say that you're all that.
He may not have been aware of that.
Yeah.
He may not have been aware of his insensitivity, but like,
you don't blow it out the other side. You know what I mean? Like, you guys can both be like, all right, I've screwed up. Okay, I accept it.
And then
all right. I'll go to this next story.
Yes.
If you were wondering, CJ told me, how the war in Ukraine was affecting the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Oh, wow.
Football. I know that was on your mind.
I might start caring now. No,
we finally have our answer here. Apparently, they are not going to be releasing the traditional red balloons after the first touchdown scored at like they do every year because of the goddamn helium shortage.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear that? There's a helium shortage. They apparently,
it's a lot of hot air.
They get all their hot air from Russia, right?
The war in Russia and Ukraine.
They're one of the world's biggest helium producers. I didn't know that. And that, like, Nebraska is going to be like, this is the word. Now we're going to get involved.
Yeah.
I know they're bombing schools and cultural centers and senior citizen homes.
But where's our helium?
If we can't release balloons in perhaps, like, one of the worst environmental incidents.
That'll all end up in forests that birds might swallow
and die. Choking baby birds. Then what are we even doing here?
This is another case. This is where we talk about the power in sports and how, you know, it can affect change. Where you get leaders in sports and they're like, here's what we can do. And it's just like the most, it's not effective. It's like, it's almost like so embarrassing. Like with the Brittany Griner stuff, not to bring up another issue that is like insanely like important.
Yeah.
It's like the WNBA and like the our country's reaction to that is like, hey, let's put a patch on jerseys. Let's like, you know, put like sign or like some signage on the court. It's like, no, how about you
bring her home?
Yeah, bring her home.
Do whatever we can to bring her home.
Yes, not to bring it back to the tragedy this week.
Yeah.
Thought thoughts and prayers aren't going to do it.
Yes.
Like, saying thoughts and prayers don't mean shit.
So, again.
And also, how do you prevent this stuff? It's been a longstanding issue that WNBA players aren't paid enough, and so they have to go play overseas.
Exactly.
Start paying them
so that they don't have to do that. That's another thing.
Take away guns so people don't shoot people. Like,
Make it hard. Yeah. Make it hard to get it so that if you have it, you deserve it.
Yes.
If you maybe release the balloons on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
So you're not releasing actual balloons, but when they score their first
Or how about this? Sync up to everyone's phones and have the one balloon go up in the air and show it on their phones.
Do a text message
and say, hey, everyone, as soon as you get into the thing, open up the Cornhuskers app, and as soon as we score, balloons will go up on your phone.
But here's what they probably do. On that balloon on their phone, just have, like, Brittany Griner's number on the balloon. You're like, it's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not
Scott
enough.
Frost ruins it again.
Supply chain issues. All right. Just love that they're screwing up traditions.
So the Pirates, the Pittsburgh Pirates, got swept by the Cardinals last weekend. That's not a big headline. Yep. It happens all the time.
Congrats to you guys.
That's right.
What kind of is making headlines is the fact that the team's own Twitter feed is trolling them. When your own team, so you know how Pollyannic, like, your own team's Twitter feed can be. And yes, they can get snippy and kind of catty and definitely, like, take down other teams and rival teams. When they start taking down your own team.
That's rough.
And by the way, they lost 18-4.
Yeah.
And so they were up 18-0 when Yadier Molina came in to pitch in the ninth inning and they scored 4 runs.
I mean, you let the neck tattoo come after you.
So the Pirates' Twitter feed, they put. They had, like, a photo of a person blowing a trumpet in someone else's ear.
Yeah.
And it said, then with a caption under each one. And under the person's ear, it said, blowing the trumpet said final score. And on the person getting blasted, it said, at Pirates. So, they're literally at this point throwing their hands up in the air and being like, we can't even rip.
There's the video of the dog swinging a wiffle ball bat and hitting the thing, and they're like, the Pirates could use this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I've been a part of social teams. I have to work for these teams. And their day job is to follow every step of their team, right? And so, like, when you have a frustrating, and I'm not following the Pirates, but, like, if it's as frustrating as it sounds, like, more power to them. Hopefully it adds some motivation.
Right. You think so?
You know?
It's like in a reverse way.
When Johnny Depp isn't the most scrutinized pirate out there right now, you're like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, all I know is in both instances, someone shit the bed.
That's right.
And in this case, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates. I hope they
like just stay off Twitter and don't comment on the things.
This
is
your team. Find something else.
Throw shade at your own guys if you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Finally.
I think that's it.
That's it.
Guys, that's it. For our Patreon fans, we have another story that we're going to be going over with CJ Toledano. Again, the podcast Running the Break.
Yep.
You can catch it anywhere you get your podcast. Check that out. And again, run follow through.
Follow through. Yeah.
Sounds great. Really cool. Maybe we can team up as we start to promote the Nosebleeds later on. When we come back, special voicemail. Cannot wait to release this one to you guys. It's View from the Cheap Seats. Don't go anywhere. And I know that you want
to. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. CJ Toledano.
Love
unbelievable.
Him.
Check him out, Running the Break. All the stuff that he's got, follow through and run, so good. Let's get to a voicemail. We got a very, very special voicemail from a very dear old friend. Check it out.
Hey, boys. Ugh, how's it going? Ugh, it's got some sand in my throat. Hey. It's your old pal, Chris Christopherson. And I'm just here to tell you, boys, I got to be real. I have just, as I was just mentioning, I got some sand in my throat. I have just woken up here in lovely Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I came down here to go see the PGAs because, as you know, I think as far as everybody knows, Chris Christopherson lives, eats, and breathes golf. But anyway, so I came down here, and right around the 18th hole, there's a bunker, 16th hole, 16th range, one of the higher teens. And, you know, I have to take several naps during the day. Average is around 7. So I was going down for my mid-morning pre-brunch nap. And I, you know, dug a little hole in the bunker there on 18, And when I came to, which was several hours later, I watched a young Chilean man have just an absolute meltdown on the course there. And you know, boys, here's the deal. Everybody is going to have to go through some meltdowns in your life. I mean, you wouldn't be human, you know. But you get about, you know, the baker's, half a baker's dozen, or as what's commonly known as six. You get about six meltdowns in your life. And then at that point, you need to start paying the piper. And so that's why I've only had eight. I've only had eight meltdowns in my life, and I know each and every one of them. One of them, of course, was on the set of the movie Convoy, when director Sam Peckinpah told me that I needed to, quote-unquote, be on set at my reported calling time, to which I then told him straight to his face that there's one thing that Kris Kristofferson does not do, and top of that list is fucking clocks. So, you know, me and Peckinpah went at it, but he's a good guy. He's dead now. And, but that was one of my number one meltdowns. Number two meltdown, oh boy, boys. I tell you, this was in 1985 in Reno, Nevada. And I had just put $150 down on the Boston Celtics to lose by 300 points. And the person taking the bet was like, sir, that's an absurd. You just might as well just hand me your money. And I said, well, no, it's a bet. You gotta take my money. And then if the Celtics lose by 300 points, you pay me. That's the bet. And they were like, but that's never happened before. And I did get myself thrown out of that casino in Reno. Again, all of this might be just all in my head, because, you know, I am currently still sleeping in that bunker in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, you know, might just all be a figment of your imagination, because just know that there's no place I know like a world of pure imagination. And my good friend Willy Wonka said that. Yeah, he's a real person.
All right, there you go.
That's the show, gang. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Sklar Brothers. We got the new episodes of Cheaper Seats. Nosebleeds coming along. Very excited for that when that gets released this summer. Also, other big stuff happening. We'll let you know about that, plus our dates in the fall. We'll put those on our website, supersklars.com. Come see us when we are doing live stuff nearby you. We love you guys. Punch a waterfall. We'll see you next week.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.